but just too much. Baylor Bears. Good news, Bears. You're going back to the Final Four. The drought has ended for Kim Mulkey's team. We will see them next in Tampa.
That seemed to be a little subdued, that call.
Yeah.
But, of course, when, you know, Baylor's up by 32, yeah. Baylor women, probably considered by many the favorite to win it all. They knock off Iowa 85-53 in the women's.
85-53, yeah.
Yeah, 85-53, 32 points. Baylor wins 85-53. Notre Dame wins last night over Stanford 84-68. Oregon beat Mississippi State 88-84. First trip for them to make the Final Four ever in women's basketball. And Connecticut, of course, the other night went to their 12th consecutive Final Four. They were a two seed, beat the one seed Louisville 80-73. What's Oregon? What seed are they?
They were a two.
They were a two. Yeah. So you got two twos and two ones.
Yes.
The women's is always pretty predictable.
Yeah, it'll be the last eight teams were all ones and twos.
Yeah, the women's is so predictable. So Baylor will take on Oregon. You would expect Baylor to win that one. Notre Dame, Connecticut. I think honestly, people pick Notre Dame to win that game. But I could see Connecticut and Baylor in a rematch. Baylor beat UConn earlier this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If Baylor plays the way they can, I don't see anybody beating them. But there's always that chance where you don't play up to your capability here in the Final Four. I mean, UConn's had that happen to them the last 2 years. So, but I think Baylor would probably be the favorite if they play up to their potential.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think they're the best team, and that's why they're the favorite. So the women's Final Four is set. All right, how you doing in your brackets? Well, our bracket challenge here at the radio station, Dusty, myself, and my children aren't doing very well. My wife's doing awesome. But if you want to feel a little bit better about yourself, only 0.2% of Americans predicted the correct Final Four teams. That's right. 0.02% predicted the four teams. Auburn, Texas Tech, Michigan State, and Virginia. CBS reported the same percentage of correct Final Four predictions in its game. ESPN's was at 0.046%. So 7,928 out of 17 million have it correct in regards to the Final Four, according to ESPN in their bracket contest. So there you have it. If you're in that other number, which is what I'm in, we're not alone. We're not alone at all.
You have zero out of the four. What's that?
I don't know, because that's what I have. I have zero. My wife has two. Two out of the four. She had Michigan State and Virginia, which, you know, that's a two and a one. Not that crazy for her to do that, but I picked the wrong ones and twos.
Yeah, that's about, like, my Final Four was not overly crazy. I think
And we're all ones and twos.
I bit into the Villanova thing, but because I thought Tennessee and all, I had, like, a reasoning for what I did, but I didn't expect Purdue to be playing as good as they did in the tournament.
Yeah, I had Tennessee in the Final Four, and they easily, if not for a call and a three-point shot, they would have been in the Elite Eight.
So. I mean, everything else was just like nothing was like abnormal for pretty much anybody that felt pretty good about their bracket going in. But that's why it's madness.
I like Texas Tech, but I didn't think they'd come out of that bracket.
I didn't either.
All right, local sports. You got some regional assignments released by Acacia.
Yes, regional baseball and softball assignments came out yesterday, and the Beloit Trojan baseball team will actually be hosting a 3A regional on May 13th and 15th. They'll be there at home along with Lincoln, Sylvan, Lucas, who will compete at that regional. Concordia, the Ellsworth-Wilson Co-op, TMP Marion, Hoisington Central Plains Co-op, Larned, and Minneapolis. That's at the 3A baseball regional, and also 3A regional softball. May 13th and 14th for the Beloit will be at TMP Marion. Also, Sylvan Lucas Lincoln will be competing there in Hayes at that regional. Obviously, we mentioned TMP Marion, Hoisington Central Plains Co-op, Larned, Minneapolis, and the Plainville Stockton Cooperative, and Russell will be competing there as well. That's at the 3A regional softball in Hayes, if you missed any of that. And any of the other postseason assignments, as they're all now posted and released by Acacia, they're ncksports.com. You can find the story and read all about that. There's some local activities going on today where the St. John's Track and Field Invitational will take place this afternoon in Beloit. Many area teams opening out their seasons today. St. John's, Lakeside, Osborne, Tipton, Rock Hills, Lincoln, Sylvan Lucas, Thunder Ridge, and Southern Cloud all competing there. Field events start at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then baseball and softball NCAA league play today. Beloit is at Minneapolis. 4 o'clock start time for both baseball and softball, and then also triangulars going on in Lincoln and Sylvan Lucas, Sylvan Grove, baseball, Little River, Ellis, and Lincoln, Sylvan Lucas, and Lincoln starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then Little River, Ellis, Sylvan Lucas, Lincoln, and Sylvan Grove and softball beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So let's look at what's going on as far as our local schedule is concerned for today. Again, for all the latest in local sports, you can always check out ncksports.com. We've got a lot of information about those postseason assignments. We have 3A state powerlifting results from the weekend, NCK All-Star Game in Cloud County coming up this weekend as well, and all your favorite team schedules also. So it's all right at your fingertips there at ncksports.com.
All right. Did you go over the schedule today there with track and stuff? All right. So actually going to be a decent day today for track.
Yes.
Not bad. Might be some throwing areas. It might be still a little bit muddy.
Yeah, you can get over that, though.
You can. Yeah. So in baseball, softball fields, all about drainage. If you got good drainage on your fields, you might have a chance. All right. The Chiefs pull off a trade with their former GM, John Dorsey, and the Browns. They get Emmanuel Ogba, who was the first pick of the second round of the draft a few years back from Oklahoma State. And when I saw, I was sitting here going, okay, what did the Chiefs give up for this guy? And then I saw that the Chiefs traded Eric Murray. I'm like, I started laughing. I'm like, seriously? That's all we gave up was Eric Murray? I mean, Eric Murray's not very good. He's a safety. They can coach him up in Cleveland. That's fine. But he wasn't really a part of the future for the Chiefs at all.
No.
Armani Watts is the future at safety, along with you got Tyrann Mathieu and, you know, Sorensen still on the roster. So I saw what the Chiefs gave up. I'm like, well, okay. He'll be in the pass rushing rotation with Okafor, who they picked up from the Saints earlier this year as a free agent. Of course, they let Dee Ford go in a trade. They let cut loose Justin Houston, who signed with the Colts for 2 years, $24 million. And you got Tanner Passanow yet, although I don't know how he figures in. I don't know if he fits the scheme at all. And then there's Breeland Speaks. So the Chiefs get a pass rusher, a guy that he's still young. That's the thing that I like about him. He's young. He's 25. He 25 or 26. Murray's 25. I like it. I mean, I really do like what the Chiefs have done. Now, you know, Ogba only has 12 and a half sacks during his 3-year career, but sometimes you just need to be in the right system with the right defensive coaches, and he should be fresh if they have a pass rushing rotation. I don't know how good he is against the run. You know, I laugh because I see 610 Sports out of Kansas City. I don't listen to their station, and I'm so glad I don't. But I see their stuff on Twitter, and it's so obvious what they're doing. Like, they carry the Royals, all right? They have the Royals. So everything's positive when they post on Twitter about the Royals.
Yeah.
They don't carry the Chiefs, and everything I see about the Chiefs is that Brett Veach is a moron. And every single thing he does, they're just questioning it. And I didn't take the time to listen to their stuff. And I'm like, you know what? They're totally doing it. They're doing it more the Patriots way right now. And this is the way to do it. You shed these huge contracts. If people are having a big problem as a Chiefs fan, oh, my Lord, we let Dee Ford go and we let Justin Houston go and Eric Berry, ask yourself, how good was his defense with those guys last year? Wasn't very good.
Not good.
Wasn't very good. 31 out of 32 is not good. So there's nowhere to go but up. So why not try a different way? And a different way should have been happened a year ago, as I've said, and I will say that till the day I die. The Chiefs totally messed up, and I hope that wasn't their window of winning a Super Bowl was last year, and because Andy Reid didn't want to make a change, even though Steve Spagnuolo was available. It's not like we had to wait for him to be available. He was available a year ago, and the Chiefs didn't do anything. Wasted year of Mahomes in a way, unless it can lead into a Super Bowl here in the next few years with Mahomes. It's fun to watch the Chiefs, but their defense was really, really bad. But you shed two big contracts. You ate some money, sure. Justin Houston, bad deal. We said it when he was signed way back 6 years ago or 5 years ago. It was a 6-year deal, a lot of money guaranteed. Eric Berry, we said at the time, you don't give a safety that much money, and the Chiefs did. And I think that was more of an emotional move by the Chiefs, since you cannot be emotional when you make these decisions running the front office. And John Dorsey was, of course, in charge of those signings. Isn't that interesting? And I think it's clear that Brett Veach is not going to make the same mistakes. I don't understand 610 Sports criticizing the general manager of the Chiefs over and over. When I look at what the Chiefs have done this offseason, the Chiefs fired their defensive coordinator. That was way, way, way overdue. It's the right move. Everybody knows it. All right? So then they get a guy that's an established defensive coordinator, sat out a year. He's done a nice job with the Giants. He's been a part of a Super Bowl-winning defense that shut down the Patriots and prevented them from having a perfect season a few years back. So he has a track record. All right? Then he runs a 4-3 defense instead of a 3-4. which I think is going to be a better fit for the Chiefs. So Justin Houston, Dee Ford, especially Dee Ford, didn't really fit the system they wanted to do. They franchise tagged him, but then they traded him to San Francisco. Okay, they don't get a draft pick till next year for Dee Ford. I get that. That's kind of a bummer, but they still get a draft pick for Dee Ford, and they don't have to pay Dee Ford $16 million a year. All of a sudden, you cut loose Justin Houston, Eric Berry, and Dee Ford, and you have a ton of cap flexibility, which the Chiefs have not had the last couple of years. You let your center, Mitch Morse, go, who signs the richest center contract in NFL history with the Bills. I'm sorry, Mitch Morse isn't that good. He's good, but he's not worth that. So the Chiefs let him roll, and the Chiefs knew that he was going to go, and they signed Austin Ryder to a cheap 2 or 3 year deal when he was a fill-in last year. The Chiefs saw the writing on the wall. Mitch Morse was going to leave. They weren't intending on signing him to a big contract. You let Eric Berry go, and you right away in free agency go out and get the guy that you wanted. Immediately, the one guy you target is Tyrann Mathieu. And you don't sign him to a 6 or 7 year deal like Eric Berry or Justin Houston. It's a 3 year, $42 million deal. And of course, they might not have to pay all that if they cut him loose before. So you've got a younger safety who can play many more positions than Eric Berry. He can play all over. He's even lined up a defensive tackle before, believe it or not. And that can cause problems for opposing offenses. So he's a jack of all trades. So then you don't have a pass rush. So then, of course, people are freaking out. What are the Chiefs going to do? Well, we lost Dee Ford and Justin Houston. We don't have a pass rush. You might want to let the offseason play out because we knew the Chiefs were going to make some moves. They signed Okafor from New Orleans as a free agent. Younger guy, once again, 2 years, $24 million. Had an injury a couple years ago coming back. He might be a perfect fit. You got Breland Speaks on a cheap rookie contract, so you're not spending a lot of money there. And now you pick up the guy from the Browns, Ogba, who is 25, 26 years of age, and he's on a cheap deal as well. So the Chiefs have, I saw it and I tweeted it out, I retweeted it, that the Chiefs have three pass rushers for half the price of one Justin Houston.
Yeah.
Now, I know those guys aren't maybe as good as Justin Houston, although Justin Houston declining, these guys might be ascending. I like these moves by the Chiefs on the defensive side of the football. And here's the other thing that you need to chill out about. And by the way, they did sign a linebacker, a young linebacker, to what was it, a 3 year deal? I forgot. The Wilson kid from Dallas, the Cowboys. Was that a 2 or 3 year deal? I think it was a 2 year deal.
It's been so long, I can't even remember.
I think it was 2 years, $6.5 million.
Yeah.
That didn't break the bank either.
No.
And it's not a long term deal. All these deals the Chiefs have made in this offseason are set up to only be 2 or 3 year deals at the most, so that, you know, if you give, you know, Patrick Mahomes a record-setting deal, which you will, if he's healthy, you will. And the Chiefs they know that's coming down the road. I think the biggest thing, and this is not the GM's fault, because how can he control what happens in the offseason off the field, is the Tyreek Hill situation. You can't control that. He can't control that. You know, I wish Brett Veach could have convinced Jordy Nelson to not retire and play for the Chiefs, but apparently Jordy wasn't a big priority for the Chiefs, or Jordy just said, you know what, my body's aching, it hurts, and I'm done. And nobody's going to talk about retirement. That's possible, too.
Yeah.
Having Jordy Nelson or not is not going to make or break what the Chiefs do this year, but it would have been a little bit of insurance. So I like what the Chiefs are doing, and they're not done yet. I mean, they still could make another trade and enhance the defense. They've improved at linebacker, I think, on paper. They've gone a lot cheaper at defensive end, and Dee Ford was a one-way player in regards to he was a good pass rusher, not good against the run. Justin Houston, last year was one of the few years in the last 3 or 4 where he's played most of the season. Eric Berry was never on the field. So you get Tyrann Mathieu, and then you've got Armani Watts as a second-year player that they like a lot. You've got Charvarius Ward, who played pretty well down the stretch when they put him in lineup at corner. And I think the Chiefs, they let Steven Nelson go, which was another great move. Don't sign him to a 3-year, $28 million deal. Let the Steelers be dumb enough to pay that. And so I just like what the Chiefs are doing. It's nothing that's spectacular. The Mathieu signing is the big one. But there's nothing spectacular what the Chiefs are doing. But they're also reworking their money situation to where they can give an extension to Chris Jones, who had 15.5 sacks last year. And I think Jones could excel. He could line up as DN, defensive tackle in this system with a 4-3 under Spagnuolo. I think the Chiefs defense will be improved. I don't know how much, but I think it will be improved, and they're gonna spend a lot less money in doing it. And they still have the draft to go. We haven't even gotten to the draft yet. I mean, what if the Chiefs, I said this and put this on Twitter yesterday, what if the Chiefs have a really good draft? It doesn't have to be great, just really good, really solid draft. If they have a solid draft, this team is in pretty good shape for the next few years because they haven't given up the farm for anyone. Now, you have to, and you need to, and you will, as long as he's healthy, Patrick Mahomes. You do not you keep your franchise quarterback. There's not one franchise quarterback in his prime that any organization in National Football League history has let go because, well, we don't want to pay him that much money. That's the position you give the guaranteed $20 million to instead of a safety like Eric Berry. That's the position, quarterback. No other position. I still say you don't give an extension to Tyreek Hill. I said that before his latest run-ins with the law, which we don't even know if that's true yet, innocent until proven guilty. Chris Jones is the one I think does make sense. He's young. He's been getting better each and every year. You probably want to lock him up. I'm cool with that. I get that. That makes some sense. But I just really like what the Chiefs are doing. It's not spectacular. But yet, what offseason do you sit here and go, wow, did you see the moves the Patriots made? The Patriots are always under the weeds. Yeah. They might. There was one year where they made a couple of bigger signings, which surprised people a little bit. But they don't go nuts and go off spending a whole bunch of money like the Raiders are. Antonio Brown in a trade and giving a whole bunch to Trent Brown, the defense or offensive tackle that they got from the Patriots. And I just think what the Chiefs are doing, this actually makes sense. They're being physically responsible, and they still have cap flexibility to do other things. And the draft's still coming up. There's a long way to go, and it's just silly to criticize the GM and rip the Chiefs for what they're doing this offseason when all they did was cut bait with three guys, one that can't stop the run, and two that can't stay on the field.
I think people get caught up too much in how much money you have in cap space and things like that. It's legal to play without breaking the cap.
That's true. Like you can be well under.
You can be $30 million under the cap if you want to
be. You can be.
Mm-hmm. If you think you have the team that's put together, and you know what that does? The Cowboys have done it a few times. Yeah. You know, they're back in the mid-2000s, they had, like, all kinds of cap room.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it because
the Raiders
they felt
did
maybe they could
recently.
Get better. Maybe they could, you know, keep the, and look, they have flexibility is what we're talking about right now, no matter what, whether they want to keep that money, wait, and use it next year when they're going to, you know, maybe make an extension for somebody else or you know, if they want to use that money on an extension for Chris Jones, whenever that's going to happen, like you said. But, you know, you don't have to use all that money. And that's the key for me, I think, is go get guys that you feel can make this team better. Like, we've been saying, it certainly can't get – well, it can only get one spot worse.
Right.
You can go from 31 to 32.
Right.
So you're not losing anything by making these moves.
It'd be one thing if you're ranked, like, 17th
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Can you
I taking
a chance here?
If you're ranked 17th, Bob Sutton would probably still have his job, too.
And the Chiefs would have won the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And you're not firing a defensive coordinator
right.
that just won a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So all these things need to happen. Whether you think they're the right moves or not, well, doesn't really matter at this point, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they need to do to make the team better and to build with the new system, a new scheme that they're going to have. You got to make changes. If you want to make the changes necessary to win, you got to make changes in personnel. We know that. You got to make changes in coaching. They've done both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was personnel last year. They didn't make a lot of changes.
They've changed
year.
Personnel, and they've cleaned the coaching staff completely
yeah.
different except for Andy Reid's son, which is shocking. But he was reassigned to
yeah.
a different position. They have totally revamped the defensive coaching staff, fresh ideas, fresh minds, different system, and which means it's probably better to have some different guys coming in with that fresh system because the old guys will be like, hey, this is the way we've always done
yeah.
it. They'll
Are
be a little
gonna,
stubborn.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the equation, too. You
oh,
get
yeah.
rid of guys that have just been in the system for so long going, listen, this is not part of our future. I think it's great. I think the Chiefs did it 1 year too late.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think it can still salvage it, but I just wish they would have done this a year ago.
Yeah.
I really do.
Exactly.
I really do. And the other thing you got to keep in mind, the Chiefs won't be as good offensively this year more than likely because teams are going to make adjustments in the offseason.
Yeah.
They've now got a lot more film on Mahomes, although Mahomes I still think will have a great year if he stays healthy. But that means if the offense, even if the offense scales back a little bit, let's say it's 94% of what it was last year, which is still amazing.
Yeah.
That means the defense has got to compensate. And if the defense can be, you know, 25% better and the offense is only 6% worse, I like the Chiefs' chances. I really do.
You need a defense that's in between 10 and 20, and you're going to be fine.
I think so. And no Rob Gronkowski, supposedly. He's retired for the Patriots, so that helps the Chiefs a little bit. You look at the Chiefs' schedule, the Chargers have a bit of an advantage there, but I don't know. The Chargers always seem to kind of do that. The Steelers, no Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell. I mean, this should be the changing of the guard. I mean, there was a chance for the passing of the baton. If the Chiefs had any kind of defense, that was a chance to pass it from Brady to Mahomes, officially. I think next year, it has to happen this next year. where it officially happens. If the Patriots are in the Super Bowl again without Rob Gronkowski and a 43-year-old Tom Brady, whatever age he is, and the Chiefs still can't get there, it better be because of injuries. It better not because they're just not good enough.
Oh, yeah.
That's just my feeling.
Better not be because of a predictable scheme.
Yes, and I don't think it will be.
No.
I don't think it will be. I like what they're doing. I really do, and 610 Sports can fly a kite. All right.
Agreed.
They're just doing it on purpose. Just yeah. People to, it's clickbait is what we call it in the industry. All right, the Shockers are in New York. They're going to be in the NIT semifinals tonight against Lipscomb. Here's Greg Marshall on the matchup at 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN.
First of all, they're in great shape, and they come at you with full sprint in transition. So we're going to have to be very smart with our shot selection and not turn the basketball over and then send several guys to the glass. And if we don't get it, we're going to have to be in sprint mode getting back and talking and pointing and trying to level the basketball off. And then when you do that, that's only, you haven't even gotten half the battle accomplished, because then they start dicing you up with their cuts, and they really do a great job of moving and cutting and slipping screens, and so we'll have to try to take away back cuts, take away the easy layups, and then close out hard on the three-point shooters.
Shockers were a 6 seed coming into this NIT tournament, and Lipscomb was a 5 seed, although some people thought Lipscomb had a chance to maybe make the tournament maybe as an at-large, although it was highly doubtful. And, of course, Belmont was able to get that. And, by the way, Belmont's coach is retiring, although I thought it was April Fool's joke when I saw it yesterday. And Lipscomb 28-7, Wichita State 22-14. The winner of the game tonight at 6 will then play the winner of Texas, TCU, and all Big 12 semi later tonight on ESPN. So the two winners will meet off for the championship later this week at Madison Square Garden in New York. John Calipari is not leaving Lexington anytime soon. The head coach of Kentucky, even though they lost in the Elite Eight here recently to Auburn, UCLA was trying to get him. Calipari really didn't have a lot of interest. UCLA offered him a 6-year, $48 million deal, which you may say, wow, what a deal, $8 million a year. I think it's hilarious because Calipari currently is making $9 million. So UCLA really wants him so bad, but doesn't give him a pay
can't
raise.
Can't give him any more than what
that's
he's getting, yeah.
That's funny. So anyway, Kentucky just countered and said, listen, we'll just give you a lifetime deal, man. You're going to be an ambassador. You'll be paid. When you quit coaching, you'll be here for the rest of your life. Calipari said, that sounds good.
Yeah,
so Calipari made $9.2 million. He's currently making $9.2 million a year as a basketball coach. And before people go nuts, because I understand it, my first thought is that's way too much for a basketball coach. Trust me, he brings in a heck of a lot more than $9.2 million because Kentucky's always at the top of the standings in the rankings, and they're almost always right there fighting for a Final Four berth in the national championship. The Royals are back in action today. The battle of first place, Twins and the Royals, both 2-1. Brad Keller on the hill after a spectacular opening day performance at 7:15 tonight. Twins, Royals, both 2-1. Jorge Soler off to a good start. Adelbert Mondesi, Whit Merrifield running the bases. Alex Gordon scored a lot of runs. He's walked a lot, but he hasn't had a lot of hits, but that's okay. And the Royals off to a decent start. We'll see what they do against the Twins, first of two tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Did you see this last night? The Baltimore Orioles pitcher, David Hess, a right-hander, 25-year-old, his 20th big league start last night, had a no-hitter through 6 1/3. 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, 82 pitches. His manager had seen enough, pulled him. Pulled him after an out in the 6th inning. He said, it's early in the year. I don't want to take any chances. He likes his young arm. The pitcher didn't have any problems with it, apparently, although I think deep down he probably did.
Yeah.
But after, it's one thing if he had 102 pitches.
Yeah.
82 pitches, and we're taking him out, and then guess what happened? Reliever comes in, walk, home run. And there goes the no-hitter. Poor guy. Probably never have that opportunity ever again.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. As a manager, I would have at least let him. But you know what, though? If he's at 82 at 6 1/3, he'd have to probably throw 130, 140 to get a complete game no-hitter. And maybe that's what the manager was thinking. Listen,
yeah.
The pitch count's going to be too high anyway. I think I'll at least try to let him finish the
inning. Get through the 7th, yeah.
Yeah, I could get through the 7th, but not that that matters. If you pull him in the 8th anyway, it's the same diff, I guess.
Yeah.
But that was interesting note in Major League Baseball. And the Dodgers, have you seen them? They've hit 14 homers through 4 games.
Well, they had 8 in the first game.
Well, that, I know, so but that, still.
Yeah, so yeah, they're definitely.
That means 2 per game since then.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. So Royals back in action tonight. And, you know, the Royals, I think they're going to do better than some people think. And I'm not saying that just because they are 2-1 and they beat the White Sox, who weren't that great. I just think you look at their division, a lot of bad teams, at least on paper.
Yeah.
And you're going to play, what is it, 70? You're going to play 76 games against those 4 teams. Take away the 19 for Cleveland. 57, a third of your schedule is going to be against the Tigers and the Twins and the White Sox. If you do your job against those three teams, the Royals should be near 500.
Yeah.
And that would be a terrific year.
Oh, yeah.
A step in the right direction, I would say.